Welcome to Middle Age Can Be Your Best Age, the show designed to help make middle age your prime time of life by defying the notion that once you reach 40, 50, or even 60 years old, your crowning achievements are all behind you. Regardless of whether you're just approaching 40 or are firmly entrenched in your middle years, it's time to launch your very own personal journey toward a joyful and purpose-filled second half of life. Each week, host Roy Richards, an expert on midlife renewal and author of A Midlife Challenge, Wake Up, will discuss the challenges common to middle age and help guide you to a brighter tomorrow. Now, here's Roy.
Well, as we begin the first work week of the new year, are you optimistic or pessimistic about the year ahead? First off, I trust you had a wonderful holiday season, that Santa Claus treated you well, and your team won in the college playoffs or the New Year's Day bowl game. But if you're like me, the first few days back to work could be quite a shock to the system. In a good portion of the U.S. and Canada, the days are short and temperatures frigid. Meals may be uninspiring and treats missing as you strive to take off pounds gained over the holidays. And it seems like forever until spring and your summer vacation, and all of those problems, projects, and challenges that you put off until, quote, after the holidays, are now staring you right in the face. In short, you may be suffering from the winter doldrums, but I've got great news. My first guest of the new year is the Queen of Optimism, and she's here to challenge us to live free from worry and doubt and from the judgment of others. And after all, what do you or I have to gain by being down in the dumps today and pessimistic about tomorrow, and then spreading that negative attitude to those around us? How is constant complaining, fear, and worry going to solve any of our problems? And my guest is Shelley Roxanne. She's known globally as an architect of the optimistic lifestyle. She recently was named a National Woman of Influence and reigning Queen of Optimism. She's creator of the Negaholics Diet and founder of Optimistic You. She's a gifted speaker who has spread her message of optimism far and wide, and she's a sought-after life coach called upon by top executives, athletes, musicians, and celebrities to bring her powerful, passionate, and engaging style to their teams and organizations. And she's author of the brand new book, The Frustrated Believer, What to Do When You Don't Know What to Do. I like that title. Hello, Shelley, and welcome. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, Roy. How are you?
Well, have you always been a highly optimistic person, or did that just only take place? Did you only gain that optimism in the past few years? And if it's something new, what happened to make you so optimistic?
You know, I am of the belief that we're born that way.
Oh.
So I do believe that I was born optimistic.
Oh, that's great.
I was also raised by optimistic parents. There was definitely complaint-free zones in my house. My entire house
great.
Was just a complaint-free zone. So
yeah,
was born that way.
That's so crucial if you have parents, little children, or especially teenagers or preteens, that you have an optimistic attitude around the house, because if you're always complaining about your job or gossiping about some neighbor down the
yes.
street, you know, negatively,
yes.
that's obviously going to rub off on them when they grow
it
up.
It absolutely does. It does.
Well, in your Amazon book promotion, you offered to reveal what Oprah Winfrey, Michael Jordan, and Joel Osteen know that we do not but should. And please give us a hint, other than they know how to make have a lot of fans and make a lot of money. And least,
well, that's
Oprah.
Funny because that is the least of it. I mean, certainly you'd have to read the book to get all of what they know.
Yeah.
But some of the things that are super important is that, you know, when people are experiencing challenges,
yeah.
the first thing for them to recognize is that it's not what it looks like.
Oh.
And that is, you know, many times we have to step back from our problem or our challenge and realize that life is not happening to you, life is happening for you. So there is a gift somewhere wrapped up in everything that happens to us. even with a law.
So often we personalize things that happen outside, too. That somebody's out to get me or this and that. And that's
yeah, and it really, you know, at the end of the day, while we think we're just that important,
yeah.
It's just not the case. You know, really,
the
no
politicians
out
are out to get me.
Yeah, I mean, really, that's just not the case. I mean,
yeah.
They have a lot to do, and they're not out to get you. And the other thing is, too, is that, you know, these politicians, most of them, for the most part, and I have spoken and interviewed a lot of them, they really are trying to do something and make a difference.
Yeah,
and
no.
You get in there with one intention, and of course, a lot of things happen that, you know, it may turn into some, you know, nefarious directions. But for
yeah.
the most part, people are trying to do the right thing. And that should be your approach. You should look at it, and you know, of course, I'm saying that from the eyes of an optimist, but
yeah.
you should look that everyone is out to do you good.
Yeah, that's good.
So if you approached it like that, and everyone you met on the street and everything that was happening, you're saying, okay, this is for my good. Even if you're on the way to work and there's traffic,
yeah, and
you're
also
thinking,
need
okay.
to you need to approach it from the standpoint of this is for their good, too, that I'm not out to take advantage of someone else for my own benefit. It's like a win-win situation that, you know, if you assume they're for you, you have to be for them as well, I would think.
Well, yes, but, you know, I really am encouraging people to be more selfish. You know, everyone says, well, it's not about you, it's not about you, it's not about you. I disagree. I believe it's
lying.
All about you.
They're
you know, you're the one having this life experience.
Yeah,
it is you having the experience.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we're kind of taught to, well, don't think about yourself. Well, who else am I going to think about? Because if I think about other people, then I give first, if I think about them first, then I am giving them power
yeah.
to define me, you know, and if they like me today, then I'm good, and if they don't like me tomorrow, then I'm not good. So,
yeah, that's exactly right. But,
you know,
you
let's
have
put
to
the
like
oxygen on
first.
Ourselves first.
Yeah.
You know, that's what they tell you on an airplane. Is, you know, put the oxygen on yourself, and then you're in a position to help the person next to you. So
you have to first
put the oxygen on yourself. So
just saying that while you're helping yourself and considering yourself first, you don't want to be out purposely harming others for your own benefit. That was the only point I was
making. No, and you're right. But the reality is if you're doing it correctly for yourself, you would never harm anyone.
No,
because the world is actually needing you at your
yeah.
very best.
I need you,
Roy, at your very best.
Yeah. No, that's,
you know?
That's exactly what we often say on this program. Well, you promised to help us to identify and change the self-sabotaging beliefs and behaviors that are stopping us from getting what we want right now. And from your experience, what are some of the most common negative beliefs and behaviors that hold people back?
Well, there's a chapter in my book called Nobody Puts Baby in a Corner.
Huh.
And, of course, it is a popular line from the movie Dirty Dancing, but the reality is that you're not a victim. And
yeah.
most people think that everyone is out, oh, you know, someone is out to do something to me. This person did this to me. This
yeah.
was happening to me. I would go to my mother and I'd say, Mom, you know, so-and-so did such and such to me and
yeah.
such and such to me. And she would always come back and say, do the best you can. And I'd say, what? No, you don't understand. They did such and such to me. They did, you know.
Yeah.
And she would say,
being a victim always
best.
Excuses us from taking responsibility for
from
ourselves.
From taking responsibility.
And changing
you
ourselves.
You know, the fact is, baby puts baby in a corner. Nobody
yeah.
puts baby in a corner.
Yeah, that's
you know.
True.
Another thing is that, you know, I love, of course, music and movies. And so one
yeah.
of my favorite songs by Billy Joel is Only the Good Die Young.
Huh.
And, you know, that is also another chapter in the book, and that's because that came from the fact that I grew up, you know, with parents who were well-known in the community and had really developed a great reputation and name for themselves. And I didn't take risks, and I didn't do things because I wanted to protect their reputation. But in the meantime, I was trying to be what I call goody-goody. And so really it should have been only the goody-goody die young, you know. Low-risk living is a sin. I do believe we need to take risk and we need to stretch ourselves no matter what age. And that's why I love your show, you know, because it focuses about middle age being your best age. It's absolutely positively
Whatever age you are today is your best age.
is your best age. I turned 50 recently, and I feel amazing. It is my best time in my whole life. I have the courage to, you know, one of my chapters is called Smash Your Give a Damn. That's a big one, Roy. That's a big one for people to smash your give a damn. You know, people just care too much about what other people think about them. And I had to get through that because I was definitely suffering from that dis-ease to please. But I was able, you know, after 40 and started approaching into 50, I was able to really give that give a damn a good smashing. I mean, I just kicked it to the curb.
That doesn't mean that you don't give a damn about, you know, cherished causes or about
loving other people. Because it frees you up. If you're so concerned about the judgment of others, you cannot focus on doing right for society and humanity.
That's true.
Means nothing about care, you know, not caring. It means that you're able to care more about what's important and not what some people think who are sitting behind, you know, a laptop or, you know, and can say some things on social media that are hurtful and harmful. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. You know, I had a friend who was a principal in a school, and a student came up to him, and the student said, "Oh, you know, Mr. Santana, they're calling me fat." And, you know, and he says, "You are fat, sweetie. Are they lying? Are they lying?" So he says, "Well, no." And I was there, and I thought, that's so mean and so horrible. But the little boy was so free from the fact that, well, you know what? They weren't lying. You know, I could lose, you know, stand to lose a few. And it just was so real for him to say, you know, they're not lying. What does it matter? Does it change your life with their
thing? The answer is you are fat, but you can do something about it. I mean, if that's...
But you can do something about it, and at the end of the day, they're only speaking a truth. If you don't want that to be true, then you do something about it. But, you know, we care too much, so we have to smash our give-a-damn-er. That's so, so important. I teach my children, and they are have become free. You know, as young men, I have three sons, and they just, that was one of the best things for them.
Great.
Because, you know, kids can be so cruel, and people can be so cruel, and, you know, self-esteem is very, very important at whatever age.
And it's so sad because cruelness and lack of self-esteem at childhood carries right on to adults. That's that little nagging little word in the consciousness that keeps coming up and says, "I'm not good enough to do this."
Exactly.
So often it comes to jobs.
So it's important.
A lot like Alcoholics Anonymous, you have created a Negaholics Challenge, 10 Commandments to Optimistic Living. Can you give us a few of those commandments and what they mean? I like that on your website.
Well, actually, you know, now in this new year, and America is just experiencing so many what I'm calling, you know, contractions, you know.
That's very true.
That America is pregnant, and in labor.
Yeah.
Did you know America was pregnant, Roy, and in labor?
No, I
and
didn't,
all
but...
of the things that are happening, all of the shootings and tragic events we're seeing and racial division and religious
yeah.
division
yeah.
is all simply contractions. So
yeah,
what I'm telling people to do is to go on, is to take the Negaholics challenge. Go
oh,
on the diet for 30 days where you're guaranteed to lose the weight of the world.
Oh, yeah.
And so in those 30 days, I'm recommending that people follow the Ten Commandments to Optimistic Living. And many of them are so just fun, but one of the biggest ones is thou shalt laugh more. You
yeah.
know, we just need to laugh more.
That's so true.
You know, we need to laugh. Another one is to guard your heart. You know,
yeah.
we need to be careful of the kinds of energy and things that we take in. You know, your show is a positive show, but a lot
yeah.
of shows out there are not. You know, people
oh,
wake
yeah,
up in the morning and they're addicted. They turn on every device from their smartphone to the television to the radio, and they're searching for negative news.
Yeah,
I'm
and when there is when there is bad news like this recent San Bernardino tragedy, that
yes,
the stations talk about that for days and analyze and just
for
on and on and
days,
on. I mean, it happened, but why do you have
yeah,
to?
Yeah, and the reality is that you know we need to focus on what is good.
Yeah.
I'm believing that the people who are doing these things and committing these acts, they are hurting. They're hurting. One of the chapters in my
yeah.
book is, you are your brother's keeper. I always ask when I hear these things, I say, where was that person's keeper?
Yeah.
Where was the person who was that? I think we should all have, like when you're little in school and you have a buddy, and the buddy looks out for you and you look out for them. Who's looking out for them? Who's checking to see that their well-being? Because we are affected, as you can see, by the acts of the people that we're here living in this country and in this world
yeah,
with.
Yeah, that's true. And unfortunately,
so we're responsible for each other's well-being.
They're not doing it for our own benefit. They're doing it because they're lost. But like you say, you need to be your brother's keeper. On the other hand, you don't need to obsess constantly on what's wrong with the country and something we can't really do anything about other than be positive in our little corner of the world. And
there's so many good things. There's so many good things out there. But, you know, of course, tragedy and controversy sells. But
yeah.
that is our fault. That's not the media's fault. They're giving us what we're eating.
That's exactly
we need
right.
to change our diet.
Yeah,
you know,
if we stop tuning into those programs, they'd stop.
They'd have to change and give us what we're desiring.
Well, you
you
make
know?
That suggestion to examine your own BS, which we've talked about, those negative ideas implanted in our brain and about smashing your give-a-dammers. But
yeah.
here's a couple other ones that I was wondering about. You say it's important to practice the F word. Now, I presume that's not the F word that most people think of.
That is not the F word that you're thinking, Roy. That is forgiveness.
Oh, okay.
Practice
that's a better F word for sure.
Yes.
Yeah, that's we always say forgive for three reasons: for yourself, for the person that may have harmed you in the past, or you think harmed you, and the third group is the people that are around you all the time, hearing you complain about it. So
exactly,
you're actually
true.
Benefiting.
But, you know, if you carry so many people carry grudges and
yeah.
unforgiveness for events and situations that happened in their past, and that person has long gone on and many people aren't even living and you're
yeah,
carrying grudges, you know, against
yeah.
that person. And, you know, as they say, unforgiveness is like taking a poison and
yeah.
expecting the other person to die. You're the
yeah.
one who suffers.
That's very true. And here's another one that was... I liked it. Regardless of our sexual orientation, why is it imperative that we come out of the closet?
Yes. Well, coming out of the closet is so important. And this is, you know, in our time right now, when I say come out of the closet, I mean be yourself and express what you believe.
Yeah.
Because believing is magic. You see, you know, everyone else, especially now, you know, it is just the time that everyone is coming out as if it's, you know, the thing to do. Well, I'm saying, well, why don't the rest of us come out and we be as bold as them about saying, this is what I believe, this is how I feel, this is who I am as a person, you know.
Yeah.
And because we're pretending to be someone else out there in the world. Every morning you wake up and before you go out, you kind of put on a costume, you know. And so I'm saying, you know, be who you want to be. And sometimes you have to pretend. And so you put on a superhero costume. If you want to be a superhero, you go out there and you put on your superhero costume. I've literally done it. I've gone and to my children's school, and I've dressed up as a Power Ranger, and I've dressed as a Ninja Turtle. I've done all kinds of things and gone out there, and, you know, my boys think she's just really crazy. But the rest of their friends think they have the coolest mom ever. You know,
yeah,
then I become
the only,
cool.
You're the only mom who's a Ninja Turtle, I bet.
And so, you know, the rest, I become certainly cooler when their friends think I'm cooler, of course.
Yeah.
But, you know, but yeah, I mean, it's just about joy in your life. I'm so about, you know, bringing joy to your life, giving joy and finding joy. So it is not a selfish thing. It is definitely, you give some, you get some. It's like a hug. You cannot possibly give a hug without getting one back.
No,
you know, it's
true.
Just automatic.
Well, let's talk a little bit about your brand new book, The Frustrated Believer, What to Do When You Don't Know What to Do. How did you come up with that title, and what do you mean by the term frustrated believer?
Well, you know, I came up with the title because I was searching. This book has been in me for, oh my gosh, probably 8 3/4 years. I was actually had a what you would call a Moses-type experience back in 2007. I had a dream, and an angel came and visited me in a dream and said, I want you to deliver a message to the world. And I woke up, and the Ten Commandments to Optimistic Living that we spoke about earlier were literally on my nightstand. And I said, what is this? And I remembered it was what I was directed to deliver to the world. That was in 2007. So I thought, okay, I need to write a book. So I went about and started the process of writing a book. And life happens even to optimists, and we kind of put it aside. And, you know, then years passed and years passed. And then, as I said recently, I was turning 50 and decided, okay, I'm going to write the book now. And it had a different title then. And it still didn't happen. And so we got to 2015, and finally I said, no matter what, I have the courage to release this book. And again, because my give-a-dammer was smashed and everything, I said, I'm going to release it to the world, and how they receive it is up to them.
That's
and so
great.
People were asking me, well, as a life coach, who do you really talk to the majority of the time? Who's your client? Who's the ideal client that you're talking to all the time? And I said, well, my message is really to the frustrated believer. And that's how the title came. It just kind of came out, and I said, well, that's what the book is, because the book is a love letter to the frustrated believer. And what is the frustrated believer? Well, I believe we all are believers, no matter what your religion. Even atheists are believers. They believe something. And so we live life believing. And so I found that so many people were frustrated. And they're, you know, people who did pray, they weren't getting their prayers answered.
Yeah.
And I was someone who wanted predictable results to my prayers. I wanted to pray, and I wanted to see a predictable result. And that wasn't happening, even for me as the queen of optimism.
Yeah.
So I went about searching.
Yeah. I see in the description of the book that it's organized into 50 bite-sized chapters full of hilariously inspiring stories and sage advice, and that sounds great. I love stories, and I think they speak to people a lot better than, just words. So
exactly, and the book is definitely not preachy. I'm clear on what my beliefs are, yeah. But I encourage people, as I said, one of the 50 bite-sized chapters has come out of the closet. Another is examine your own BS, and another is it's not what it looks like, and yeah. Elephants don't swat flies. I mean, that's a really fun chapter because that's about, recognizing that, there's a lot of what are called haters out there. People, are mean and all of that, but they're hurt people hurt people. That's all it is. I mean, it's not about you. They're hurting. And that's why they may say things that are not kind. And, I was just raised to, not to worry about that. Still do your best to people, even those people that hurt you and despitefully use you. Still do good to them.
Yeah, I try to give myself that message and to my wife, who often frets for long times over a hurtful statement, and I always tell her it's not about you, it was about them.
It's about them. I mean, people tell you who they are by, how they treat you. So if they are, saying hurtful things, that is really a reflection of who they are. It's not about you.
No, that's true. Well, where should we go to preview and purchase your book? What's the best place to do that?
Well, the best place to go is it's on Amazon and Kindle right now.
Oh, I see.
In a few weeks, it will be out in all bookstores, Barnes & Noble and such.
Oh,
but
great.
Right now, it's Amazon and Kindle, and it's doing so well. I'm so excited and so appreciative of people who are really receptive to the concept of thinking a different way. It's all optimism, and the whole point of living an optimistic lifestyle is about changing the way you look at things.
You also have a website, thefrustratedbeliever.com, that I went to, and you have information about the book there as well, I guess.
Absolutely. They can go to thefrustratedbeliever.com.
And if they would like to retain you as a coach or a speaker, is that where they should go?
They should go to thefrustratedbeliever.com, or they can also go to ShellyRoxanne.com.
Oh.
Or even find me on Facebook or Twitter. I'm not a real big social media person, but you have to do that today.
That's true.
So, but they can find me. I'm out there. It's easy to do.
Yeah. Okay. Well, my guest today, Shelly Roxanne, promises that if you follow the techniques from her book, you will be so busy loving your life that you will have no regret, fear, or frustration. But remember, you can't just trip into an amazing life by surprise, as she puts it. It requires that we work on ourselves, change when necessary, and grow continually. And that's pretty sound advice for any season. And thank you so much, Shelly Roxanne, for helping us get out of any post-holiday blues, smash worry, fear, and judgment of others, and move forward in life with a positive, confidently self-assured attitude. And remember, the only person you really have to impress is you, and, of course, God, if you're a religious person. So go for it. In a nutshell, what we're talking about is midlife renewal, which, of course, is the subject of this program every week. And thank you so much, Shelly Roxanne, and best of success
Roy, thank
on the
you
sale
so
of the
much
book.
For having me. I so appreciate it. Thank you for having me. And always remember, for everyone, the best is yet to come.
Yeah, and let's all go out there and be at least 50% as optimistic towards life as Shelly Roxanne is, the queen of optimism. And thanks so much, Shelly.
Thank you, Roy.
You may recall on November 9th of last year, I identified 9 common excuses that middle-aged folks like you and me sometimes make so we can remain stuck in our less-than-optimal lifestyles or situations, to postpone a needed midlife makeover that can bring us joy and satisfaction for the rest of our lives. And quite frankly, I think all of these excuses are hogwash. And on my November 23rd program, I explained why excuses 1, 2, and 3 do not make any sense. Let's move on to excuses 4 through 6. And excuse number 4 is the good old one, what good would renewal do me anyway? Everyone around me is negative. Most experts agree it's very difficult to renew a loan. It's even more difficult if you're routinely exposed to negative commentary and complaining from your spouse, family members, your kids, co-workers, or your boss. But here's some good news. More often than not, renewed positive individuals over time bring significant others along. You know, your positive makeover may encourage all those around you to become more optimistic also. And here are three logical reasons. The first reason is, once transformed, you'll better understand your own motivation and will relate more effectively to and accommodate the motives of others. You know, when you know yourself and when you're not defending yourself and uptight about everything, you're more inclined to listen attentively to others, interpret their signs, and comprehend their points of view, and more often than not, mutual understanding nurtures peacefulness and a positive cooperation and a positive thinking on the part of everybody. The second logical reason is it takes two to tango, and a chronic complainer or gossip requires a receptive audience, and even the most caustic critic does not want to be the only negative person in a room. So if you routinely fail to acknowledge negative comments, especially when they're about somebody else, then that person will tire of being so negative, I'm certain. And the third reason is frequent smiles, sincere attention to others, and a favorable mental outlook are highly contagious. It's difficult to argue, remain down, or complain when a positive person comes into the room. And when you're in the presence of an optimistic, let's-get-her-done person, sooner or later everyone seems to be smiling, laughing, and cooperating. And let's move on to excuse number five. God will change me if it's God's will. In other words, putting all the responsibility on God to change things for you. Now, I personally believe in a God whose essence is perfect love, peace, understanding, balance, and harmony. I believe also that our Creator desired that every human being on this planet, including you and me, find peace, balance, love, harmony, and fulfillment in our personal lives. I also firmly believe that God will help instill a positive attitude within every man or woman who diligently seeks peace within. Each one of us has been created in God's image with an inherent capacity to succeed, and God has granted every single one of us, young and old, internal resources almost beyond imagination. God also invites us to speak with God, seek advice from the divine through prayer, and your renewal challenge with God's help is to tap more effectively into those unbounded resources that God has given you. A reawakened spirit does not guarantee uninterrupted peace and prosperity, of course, but it does guarantee unwavering inner strength. In God's divine plan, bad things do happen to good people. Saints and sinners alike suffer from natural disasters, life-threatening illnesses, and the evils of humanity like the recent attacks in Paris and San Bernardino, war, terrorism, violence, discrimination, political repression. But shaken along with the rest, confident, positive, spiritually grounded individuals in crisis, they somehow manage to find the strength within to recover. They consistently take the long-term view, dust themselves out, ask God for guidance, and in cooperation with others, launch a spirited and sustained journey to recovery. And pray for God for guidance, but by all means, don't sit around feeling sorry for yourself if something bad happens, and wait for God to do all the work. And here's excuse number six, one of my least favorites, if only. The I would renew if only excuse is first cousin to I will renew when, but if anything, if only excuse is even more counterproductive because when at least leaves open the remote possibility that renewal might someday occur. In contrast, if only bitterly laments a past mistake, fate, or a long-ago misfortune, and implies that the opportunity to transform our lives somehow has been lost forever, with zero possibility that circumstances will ever improve. you undoubtedly have heard one or more of the following excuses from somebody for not excelling. If only I had finished my education. If only I were computer literate. If only I were better looking, weren't so fat, weren't so short, weren't so tall, or didn't look so bad in a suit or a dress. If only I were younger. If only I were more intelligent. If only I weren't so shy and didn't feel so intimidated around other people. The if-only excuse is purely and simply BS, a rationalization for doing nothing. In the extreme, it's a certain formula for exiting the world at journey's end, miserable and unfulfilled. As you and I grow older, the possibility of overcoming an unfortunate circumstance, if we don't try, becomes ever more remote, and upon retirement, if only frequently converts into the mournful refrain, I could have been. Through twisted reasoning, you and I somehow hold ourselves less accountable and for self-defined limitations and shortcomings and less envious of others if we're able to point the finger elsewhere or to manufacture a built-in excuse for our inability to direct our own lives in a positive direction, in the direction we want it to go. And that doesn't make any sense at all, does it? In truth, the if-only excuse and its close relative, I'm not good enough, reflect deep down unwarranted personal limitations of unworthiness, and those impressions may have been implanted in our subconscious minds when we were small children. They often are. I ask you to just trust me right now. A person's subconscious fear of success or a fear that they will fail at everything they try can be overcome. At least for now, put aside every one of your if-only reservations and let's get on with an examination of life's opportunities. Without question, you are a deserving individual, completely worthy of lasting personal fulfillment and a dedicated service to others. You are a valuable individual. You and I don't have to be young, highly educated, athletic, or beautiful to turn things around. We simply need to believe in ourselves 100% and to coordinate our brain or condition our brain to utilize a greater portion of our inherent capacity. And really, when you think about it, that capacity is unlimited if you just use everything that you have within you. And here at the beginning of the new year, this is an ideal point to challenge and blast through any excuses that are holding you back in your career, relationships, or in a lifestyle that you don't admire. Now is a good time for new beginnings. Oh, heck, any time is a good time for new beginnings as soon as you're ready. Now let's quiet that little negative voice in our brains that keep telling us that we're not good enough and don't deserve better. Now is not too soon to begin visualizing the person you seek to become, then to start behaving like that person. And for additional guidance, I'd like to remind you of my inspirational book, A Midlife Challenge Wake Up by Roy C. Richards. It's your comprehensive roadmap to middle age transformation, and it includes 21 useful self-help exercises that you will get a lot of enjoyment and inspiration out of performing those exercises, believe me, because I performed all of them when I wrote the book. And you'll find my book at Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, or on our website, MiddleAgeRenewal.com. And as we begin the new year, may I wish you all a healthy, happy, and productive 2016. Let's all renew and enjoy ourselves to the extreme during this year coming up. And goodbye for now. See you all again next week.
You've been listening to Middle Age Can Be Your Best Age, hosted by Roy Richards, an expert on midlife renewal and author of both A Midlife Challenge, Wake Up, and Wake Up, Captain and Crew, Restart Your Engines. You can learn more about Roy and his Middle Age Renewal Training System by visiting his website, middleagerenewal.com.